This morning's scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, the Ten Commandments, number 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as you are able for this morning's gospel reading. The gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Do not swear. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
One of the funniest American comedy movies I'd consider would be Mel Brooks' History of the World, Part 1, which was released in 1981. Wow, that was 42 years ago. Then last week, I was surprised to learn that the part two of this movie is coming soon this year in March. Wow, after the 42 long years. Have you ever seen the part one? No? Oh, okay, some of you. Okay, good, good. Mel Brooks is an American actor, comedian, and filmmaker. Yes, he's the producer, director, and the one of the main actors in the History of the World movie series. I assume both one, part one and two. Amazingly, he's now 96 years old and has made a sequel. Wow. Anyhow, recently I was able to watch the movie, part one, again, but in high definition, Blu-ray version that had been enhanced the video quality in 2010, the movie is still hysterical and funny. It's a parody and comedy movie with lots of added jokes. So please don't take it literally or seriously. Because it's been a long time, I could not remember anything from the movie except for two hilarious scenes. The reenactment of the Moses receiving the Ten Commandments and the Last Supper with Jesus. First scene, Moses has just received the stone tablet from God, but he's got three stone tablets. Yes. Now Moses proclaims before the people saying, listen up people, God has given you these 15 commandments. But before finishing his sentence, he accidentally drops one of the three tablets. Then the tablet is broken into pieces. So Moses says, oi, not 15, but 10 commandments. The second scene, Jesus and his disciples have gathered for the Last Supper. During the supper, someone exclaims, Jesus! And Jesus responds, yes. Do you get it? okay. Yeah. People use this exclamation of Jesus or Jesus Christ, right? As an expression of a surprise, shock, or anger. In this sense, if you have ever used this exclamation of Jesus or Jesus Christ or even oh my God or something similar phrases, in God's name, without thinking, you might need to reconsider using these expressions. This morning, we are continuing to learn or relearn the Ten Commandments. And we are exploring the meaning of the third commandment. In New King James Version says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." What would be the case of taking God's name in vain? According to New Revised Standard Version, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Okay, we get it, but it is still not clear. So we read Common English Bible Version, CEB, that offers an easier explanation. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were of no significance. It's the case that when you swear or say sacred names as some kind of cursing words, especially when you are frustrated or angry or in some other unpleasant situations, and it is obvious that God would hate when people use profanity with God's name or other sacred names. Sadly, people tend to take God's name too lightly. So basically and obviously, through this third commandment, God commands us not to use any of God's names in a way that does not carry or reflect reverence for God. Yes, simply it means no cussing or no condemning in God's name. However, this third commandment has more and deeper implications than just no cussing rule. Many Bible scholars, along with the author Adam Hamilton, agree that the foundational intent of this third commandment is a call to the ancient Israelites and all God's people today to keep the promises and tell the truth in every covenant made in God's name and every contract made in good faith in societies. I agree too. If you have ever bought a home, you would remember that your mortgage lender gave you a good faith estimate on your total cost to buy your home, right? Still today, among people, believe it or not, we use the phrase good faith in business and commercial transactions, especially for the ancient Israelites who believed in God. Every deal, every transaction was based on their good faith. In every aspect of their life, in terms of work, business, trade, industry, and social and ethical life, is based on their trust and their faith in God, God's name. Yes, in God we trust. Exactly. We in the United States still use it today. Whenever you use your money, right? Yes. Therefore, the most important application of this third commandment today is indeed more on promise keeping and truth telling in every deal, every contract, and every relationship, every covenant. Can you imagine everyone in this society today keeps every promise and everyone tells truth always? Wow, that would be really, really amazing. Think about all those broken relationships, broken homes, destroyed lives, and devastating families because of the broken promises, untruthfulness, unfaithfulness, lies, and deceit. As a Christian, at a Christian marriage covenant service, generally known as a wedding ceremony, the bride and the groom exchange their wedding vows by saying first, "In the name of God." At every inauguration ceremony, the incoming president takes an oath while placing a hand on a Bible and concludes the oath with the well-known traditional phrase, "So help me God." Maybe some other elected officials would take the same or similar oath as well. Yes, in every relationship or every sworn-in occasion, we must reflect that we are created in the image of God. Yes, we are meant to reflect God's image to one another through promise-keeping and truth-telling. The book Words of Life, author Adam Hamilton writes, quote, "As God's people, we bear the name of God, and we can speak about God not only through our words, but through the way we live our lives," unquote. Yes, again, this third commandment, after all, is truly about promise-keeping and truth-telling. In the gospel, Jesus quotes this third commandment also. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.'" Then Jesus goes further, "But I say to you, do not swear at all." Why would Jesus command us not to swear at all? The New Interpreter's Study Bible states on this passage, quote, "Jesus extends the prohibition against false oath to all oath, a community of integrity and right relationships does not need oath that can be used evasively," unquote. From this commentary, let's pay attention to the last words, "evasively." In other words, any human being's oath can always be used negatively in deceptive, false, misleading, and or unclear ways. Jesus already knew the human nature and human tendency better than anyone else. Verse 37, "Let your words be yes, yes, or no, no." Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Yes, again, Jesus means truth-telling and promise-keeping. So, based on the Hebrew Bible and the Gospel, along with the book Words of Life, my own interpretation and application of the third commandment are straightforward in three ways. Number one, do not pursue your personal self-centered agenda by using God's name. Number two, do not justify your wrongdoings while fishing and quoting a Bible verse here and there. Number three, when you make a promise or a vow with God or with anyone, keep it until you die, means forever. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this third commandment, "You shall not take the name of God in vain," is all about promise keeping and truth telling in our everyday life among everyone with one another. This commandment is also shown in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Apostle Paul also echoes this in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yes, God's commandment, including this third commandment, must be kept in word and deed seriously and sincerely in our everyday life always. Jesus even calls us to go on to perfection. Jesus ultimately commands us in the Beatitudes, be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I'd like to close my sermon with the conclusion passage from the book Words of Life. It's from the section called What Jesus Might Say to You. Quote, you will find joy and meaning and life as you seek to live each day in such a way that you hallow God's name in your thought, words, and deeds. Unquote. Thanks be to God. And all the God's people say, Amen. Amen.